stream, moon shining down in some little town. With each beam is the same old dream. To look at trip on a Gemini spacecraft. And what about you? Yeah. I shot my space gun. Gemini, I jumped into mine. We orbit the moon just one last time. Tomorrow night, will you hold hands with me under the moonlight? Hey, to the trip, Gemini spacecraft.
Took a trip on a Gemini spacecraft from the new album. We don't know what it means. We'll just have to ask Jonathan Kanan. David must be taking some sort of youth serum. He's got more hair than anyone in the band and still is the thin white Duke.
I took a trip on a Gemini spacecraft, baby. I thought about you. David Bowie. Perfect song for today's show. We have to have a little Gemini spacecraft in the time of Gemini. Right? And we're going to be talking about some alien shit today. Try to put it all together. Today is one of those all-together shows. We're going to look at what's happening sort of out there in the so-called world. What we might be expecting. We're going to be going to the past to look at some media that has some surprising relevance for our time. Now, whether or not it's predictive programming, who knows? But it's one of those things that I stumbled across a couple of years ago, and I've been wanting to play on this show for a while now. And guess what? Today's the perfect day. So welcome to another edition of 15 Minutes of Flame. I'm sort of struggling with my voice a little bit today. Feel like I'm kind of getting run down a bit physically, just in terms of the, like, you know, what do they call it? The exosomes. The exosomes are being released. The toxins are being released. So I think I might have an infrared sauna in my future here. Not too distant future. In the background, we have the supposed meeting between Eisenhower and the Zeta Reticulans, which is one of the interesting stories that relates to UFO. I used to be a big UFO guy. Full disclosure, I used to be a big UFO guy. And I've actually seen some UFOs. Maybe I'll recount a couple of my UFO stories today, since we're on the topic and the subject. And it's really come up because, well, guess what? Tucker Carlson is talking about UFOs again. He started to do that about, 2 years ago? And it was just a matter of time. It's like, okay, when are they going to roll out the alien card? And if you look at the thumbnail for today's show, we have one of the cards from the Illuminati deck, which is the Zeta Reticulan handing over money to the powers of the world. And it's apparently every card in the Illuminati deck has been played except for nuclear war and aliens. Who's this? That's my son. He always calls me during the show. You always call me during my show. What's up?
My God. I was going to ask real quick if I could just come out on Sunday to the Saturday and stay the night since you're on my way to El Paso.
Sure. No problem. We'll see then. There you go. Your son calls, you got to pick up the phone. Right, Peachy? You little devil cat? You little cat from outer space? Well, come up here. Man, she was a bad cat last night. She did something so evil. So evil. I'm not even talking about it. I can't talk about it right now. Is it fixable? Yes, but not without some effort. Anyway, so I supposedly, so this is the story. And then I'll jump into Chattaria here in a second. The story goes like this, if you're not familiar with the story, that supposedly the U.S. had exploded some bombs, right? The nuclear bombs, the atom bombs, the atom bomb test. Maybe not the actual bombs themselves, but the test in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And apparently there was a John Wayne movie that was near the test site. And according to legend, everybody that was a part of that movie, including John Wayne himself, it came down with cancer. Now, in John Wayne's case, the guy was a fucking chimney. He just smoked all the time. And so he had lung cancer. But it's an interesting statistic. I forget the name of the movie. It was one of those cowboy flicks. But there was some miscommunication between the bomb people and the movie people. So according to legend, the bomb got the attention of two alien groups. And they made contact with the Eisenhower administration. One group, of course, is the Zeta Reticulans, also known as the Greys, which we have back here in the background. And the other, if I'm not mistaken, was the Nordics. And the story goes that Eisenhower was absent because he had to deal with some tooth issue. He had to go to the dentist, apparently. That was the story. And he went to New Mexico because apparently here's where it gets a little fuzzy. Because there's two versions of the story. Well, there's two parts of the story. One is that these alien emissaries come down, and apparently Eisenhower is there with this guy by the name of Gerald Light, L-I-G-H-T. I think that's his name. And he's sort of this kind of new age medium guy. And I think he was there with also somebody from the Catholic Church. So he wanted somebody that was kind of supernatural or had mediumistic qualities, and then somebody who was more religious, right? And this is, I'm trying to get the events in sequence here, because there's also the crash of the ET, and that's where you get EBI. And that's, so EB and this meeting with these extra, I think they're a little bit different, but according to the story, the extraterrestrials, these guys, the Zetas, did a bunch of stuff, right? Like they were able to produce holograms before Eisenhower and his entourage. And one of the holograms they produced was a massive nuclear conflagration on the planet. And they were actually able to show the planet being destroyed in like 3D before these guys. And then the other thing that they did is they were able to produce a hologram of Christ on the cross right there in the middle of the room. I mean, think about that. If that story's true, you know, we take this idea of holograms for granted now, because we've seen Prince Charles do it and Tupac on the stage and Michael Jackson hologrammed out. So we kind of take it a little bit for granted. But back in the 50s, this whole idea of a hologram would have blown their minds, right? And like Christ being in the room with them being crucified would have been just a mind fuck. And apparently the meeting between Eisenhower and these guys was shocking, to say the least, to Eisenhower. So there were these two groups, and the Nordics said, hey, listen, you guys have to disarm. You got to disarm. If you disarm, we'll give you technology that you could use and you could advance your species, right? Apparently they had had some conversations with the Russians too. It's all part of the story. And Eisenhower and his military group didn't feel comfortable with disarming. What if it's a Russian trick, right? These other guys here basically said, look, we're going to give you technology, but you have to let us cruise around and do a little experimentation on people. We promise nobody will die. We pick somebody up, we'll drop them off where we picked them up. And I think the narrative goes that they made that deal, right? That they got, and for these guys, it was like lower level technology. They're not giving them the good shit. You know, they're not getting the Glengarry leads, okay? So the administration feels somewhat satisfied because they may have gotten the leg up on the Russians or whatever. And I think they made the same deal with the Russians, by the way, because they're lying little bastards. And of course, the plan to non-invasively sample human genetics didn't go as according to plan. Some people wound up missing, never came back. Things sort of started to get a bit out of hand with this idea that individuals would be kind of roped in for missing time and all that stuff, right? So this is part of the story. The other part of the story is a crash saucer. And that crash saucer apparently was taken down, from what I understand, with Wilhelm Reich technology. And that, you know, Reich and the cannons, the Jorgen cannons, this is actually a part of the book that Reich's son wrote about their experiments with Orgone and Orgone cannons. They were actually able to have these craft materialize with these giant Orgone cannons and then disable them. So the idea is that these craft actually operate on Orgone, which is around us. It's everywhere, right? So that's how they actually move through space. or this space, or maybe inner space, if we're talking interdimensionality. So there's, and of course, all of Reich's shit got stolen by the government. So there's this theory that they actually used an orgone cannon. They brought down a craft. And there were a couple of these characters that were there. And one of the characters was EB, extraterrestrial biological entity, EBE. And supposedly EB is the model for ET and the movie that Steven Spielberg did. And EB was like a djinn, and he was a bit of a liar. Right. And but they figured out how to keep him alive, because the other ones, I think there were a couple others that were part of the crash. Again, this is all part of the story. I'm just telling you the story. A couple of the other ones died, and they figured out that EB was a chlorophyll based being. So they had to treat him like a plant. And it, I think it's really interesting how the World Economic Forum wants to get us on a plant-based diet, right? They want to feed us bugs, and they want to feed us plants. And I think that, you know, our DNA is, and our cellular structure is very permeable. And, you know, what if this, what if these people or these entities or these beings are us from the future? And right now we're being socially engineered, you know, through something like a plant-based diet to become more of these like chlorophyllactic beings. And they're coming back, and this is part of the story. They're coming back through time and doing these genetic experiments on humans so they can kind of relive, because they're not able to really reproduce. And that's one part of the story. There's another part of the story that they're just automatons that are doing the bidding of the Dracos. I've gone down this shit for a long time, right? So, but I don't really talk about it, because I don't think for me it was all that important in terms of this story. But it's becoming more important now, because Tucker Carlson and Matt Walsh over the last week have been talking about aliens. And apparently there's a whistleblower inside the government, and this, oh yeah, we have a craft. And I mean, this shit's been going on for a long time, but it seems to be popping up now in a much more prevalent and buzzy kind of way, right? And when we look at the fires in Calgary, and which are terrible, I mean, obviously, you know, what's really interesting is that it was, I thought, was it maybe 2019 when they had the fires and the uranium. There's like an area of Calgary where there's a lot of uranium, and there were fires there to basically burn people out so that the Clintons could go in and start mining uranium and sending the, and it was doing a deal with a guy who owns Lionsgate and is a big player in Kazakhstan. Right. So that happened, you know, a few years ago, and now the fires are back again. But we're talking about 6 million acres. I mean, huge. Who was it? Dutch Sense said there was like massive explosion there or something. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's got to be some videotape somewhere, you know, some sort of CCTV cam. But this massive fire now, The smoke from the fire is like moving around Canada and going down the East Coast. And yesterday there was a picture of New York, and it looked like part of the trailer for the latest version of Blade Runner. I mean, everything was just hazy and dark and dystopic in the skies, and going all the way down to the Virginia Beach area and down the coast. I mean, this is a major meteorological event, you know, and then there's this idea that with the haze and the scrim of the sky, they could do things like Project Bluebeam and project shit into the sky. So, you know, we're taking a little trip down a conspiracy lane here because it's sort of in the air, literally and figuratively, it's in the air. And these are the roots of kind of where it all begins. And getting back to EB, it kept him alive for a while. And he was really very much like a djinn. And if you know anything about djinns, they lie. You know, you summon a djinn and you ask the djinn questions, but the djinn will lie to you. So you have to ask questions in a way that the djinn sort of reverses the answer and tells you the truth through lying, which I know it's weird, but that's kind of what they did with EB. And there was a guy there who apparently was a scientist, and he and EB kind of grew a bond. They had a bond together. And so he was the guy that ultimately extracted the most knowledge from the future star of ET. Anyway, we're gonna do some of this today. I'm gonna play you a very interesting piece of media from the 1970s, which kind of brings a lot of these themes together. We do this every now and then on Thursdays, and today's one of those days. And that, like I said, I've been putting off playing this video for not for any particular reason. And it just popped back into my head. Like, oh yeah, I think it's time. And the reason why is because it has all these threads. So let me get into you guys and Chattaria. And then we'll do a little Trueham science. It will get into the media, and then I'll tell you some of my UFO stories if you're interested. Okay, who do we have here? We've got my man, Michael. What's going on? K&S, Krimis, making their return appearance tomorrow on the Friday Farcast. Looking forward to hanging out with Chris and Steve. I have no idea what we're talking about, but it's always interesting. There's a man, Tomas. What's going on, TJ? Wendy says the beautiful one is here. What's going on, Wendy? The classy one, Sony, is here. K&S, I'm smoking homegrown. Arizona is on fire, too. Oh, there you go. Gigi. Hey, Gigi. Checking in from Florida. SP Dimples. Europe in the house. Let's see. Oh, that's funny. Chris and Steve. Wendy burning 2020 ballots, no doubt. Very, very clever. CC Jones. Fantastic. She's here. Miss Nakia. Hi, back at you. Let's see. Who else do we have? Hard to say, only Dutch Sense is talking about it, not our news. Our news doesn't even carry any so-called footage from Ukraine. You know, with all the cell phone cameras in the world, you would think that there'd be cell phone footage that would come out of Ukraine, don't you think? Not much. What's going on over there, really? Do we really know what's happening in Ukraine? Past lives matter. What's happening? AKA Lynn, you listened to Fearless from last night. Lynn, that's really interesting. What do you think of Vivek, and what do you think of what Royce White said? I don't trust him. That's how I feel about Royce sometimes, actually. Let's see, who else do we have? I hope he's not really dead so I can meet him. You're talking about Bowie? I met Bowie. You guys know the Bowie story. He was cool. I never appreciated Bowie until Robert. I thought he was just weird. Yeah, I'm the merchant of weird. Although there are weirder people than me, trust me. I'm like, you know what I'm like? I'm like accessible weird. I'm accessible weird. There's some people that are inaccessible weird. Yankee game in Chicago canceled due to hazardous air. There you go. He's alive. I know he is. Well, he was in the Prestige. Maybe there was a little telling about that. They canceled The View. Oh, and then there's a cruel hoax. Oh, they got to have The View. They have to have the witch's hour. What's happening, Kelly B? Good to see you. My dog's fave cat brought her a live chipmunk after calling the dog over with her mouth full. Just let it go so the dog could chase it. This was in my dining room last night. Chairs flying. Wow. That's exciting. Let's see. Who else do we have? Okay. Enjoy your breakfast, Gigi. Keep on listening. Hucklebug 411 is here. What's up, Huck? They wanted another sibling to play with. There you go. We had a massive storm last night. Power was out. Man, that storm was so intense, it woke me up. D. Tiffer, hey. Darling, did you catch that storm last night in your area? Down in the 210? Tianzif, amazing astro weather today. Love the Crowley Bush reading. Love when you do that type of reading. Yeah, you know, it's fun. I enjoy kind of going off the res a little bit. I got yelled at one time for using that phrase. Starman 3, what's happening? One sock. You know, Bowie's band, that was a shit hot band. Reeves Gabrels is such a good guitarist. That guy was amazing. Gail Ann Dorsey on bass, Mike Garson, keyboards. Zach from the B-52s on drums. Mary Lee, what's happening? This Bowie is much better. Mary Lee, I'm glad you approve. Let's see. Yes, please bring the aliens. You're doing a lot, Robert. I am doing a lot, Kelly. That's true. Last night was a very interesting chapter of Robert Does a Lot. Is Texas getting hit with smoke? No, we're not. It's a little, I have to say, it was a little bit hazy today. But not yet. No smoke to that degree. Best hear your voice and throat. Thank you, Sony. I'm waiting for people to start talking about the end of days. Should we start talking about it now? Why wait? Why wait? Let's just throw that out on the table. Yeah, I think we're coming to the end here. I mean, this is part of the Pluto cycle. You know, I mean, let's just take a quick look at everything that's happened with Pluto and Aquarius. The whole LGBTQ AI plus thing off the fucking charts. Pluto in Aquarius. We're talking about aliens now. Spacecraft. Like, shit is going to get weird. It is just going to get weird. And then, meanwhile, underneath it all, you have all the weird governance stuff, which we covered the last couple of days with the CEI and the ESG. And apparently, there was a vote. I have to actually confirm this, but there was a vote to ban gas stoves at a federal level. It was in one of the bills that I think just recently passed, and Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy signed off on it. Like, what the fuck? You know, I have to circle back to that. It just crossed my radar today. But yeah, I mean, so we have all this weird high strange going on. And then beneath that, we have all the kind of global governance happening at the same time. And are they going to converge and meet together so that out of this time of chaos, there's an unusual order that begins to assert itself? Well, I guess we're going to find out. Pretty busy. Yes, I have been busy. I have been. I'm sure it has been discussed, but CNN CEO is out. That was quick, huh? That was really quick. I mean, they're without a rudder. We talked about that a little bit today on Astro Weather, just totally without a rudder. Without Trump, CNN is nothing. They're nothing. I mean, good luck finding shit on Ron DeSantis. I mean, I'm sure there's something there, but they're not going to agree because the Uniparty, it will be behind DeSantis. If anything, they may go after RFK Jr., who, by the way, is looking very presidential. I'm not a huge fan. I'm actually not a huge fan because of his wife, Cheryl. Cheryl from Curb Your Enthusiasm. If he curbed Cheryl, I would be a bigger fan of RFK Jr. But he's going down to the border. He's meeting with people on the border, dealing with he's doing things that theoretically Biden should be doing. Presidential shit. Let's see. What did Peachy do? You guys want to know what she did? I'll tell you. My mother has all these pills in her pill case day by day, right? Time of day by time of day, morning, noon, evening, night. And I had this box, and it's a pretty good sized box. And it was on the dining room table. Peachy got up on the dining room table and knocked the whole fucking box off. And it was not near the edge. It was, you know, maybe about that far away from the edge. And she just whammed it. Explosion of pharmaceuticals on the floor. Had to pick them up. Now my mother has to resort them, put them back in every single day, every single hour. Man. That's what Peachy did. How's Peachy's turf war progressing? Well, I think she's declared war of my mother and the turf war of the couch, which has been her territory and domain. You got it. There we go. What's going on, Crossfire Cat? What's happening? Peachy is getting comfortable. She's getting big too. That's the other thing. Peachy has an evil side. So Peachy, here's my thesis. White cats are evil. They're evil. Not black cats. It's an inversion. Black cats are cool. White cats are evil. So Peachy has the tabby side. She's got orange tabby on her. And then she has the white side, right? So some days it's good Peachy, good tabby Peachy. And other days it's the evil white cat Peachy. Last night, the evil white cat came out. My background is super creepy. Good. That was the Searchers. Thank you, Tondar. Filmed in Monument Valley. Thank you for that. See, it takes a village. It takes a village. Is Peachy alien? Yes. She's the fucking cat from space. You look at her eyes. She's got those Zeta Reticulan eyes. I'm telling you. My theory, if anyone's interested, is that these grays are not from space, from inside the Earth. I think that that's a great theory. Evolved from human into what they're recognized through radiation genetics. So that's a really good theory. And that gets into the whole Phil Schneider world, right? Like when they were going down into Dulce in New Mexico and they were drilling their underground bases, that's what they ran into. That's who they ran into. So that's another theory. I don't have a problem with that at all. Like, so I think there's, and then there's the interdimensionality part to it, which is more about inner space than outer space. Scrubbies is here. What's going on, Scrubbies? Let's see. Wildfire smoke has reached me here outside of Detroit. Although, name check another Bowie song here, Panic in Detroit. My aunt was from that Air Force part of Utah and had her whole family wiped out from cancer. There you go. There you go. Hey, Bo's here. What's going on, Bo? Local story on recent landing in Las Vegas. See, here we go. Here we go. Which makes what's going on a pretty bizarre period in time. Tampering. Gigi Young theorizes as well. Yeah, I mean, that's Phil Schneider territory. The Phil Schneider story is really intense. And this whole firefight down in level 9 or something like that? Level 5, I forget what level, pretty deep inside the base. And that whole story is just creepy. You know, apparently they had all these weird, like, chimeras. They were doing all these fucking weird experiments down there. There were people that were like trapped in cages. They were separating souls from bodies, like real nightmare hell shit, right? And there were these human scientists that were down there working with the grays, supposedly. And then one day, a guy from the Delta Force walked into a meeting, and there was some kind of, I don't know, knowledge transfer going on. And he had a sidearm. Now, there's two sides of the story. One side of the story is that maybe they were going to plan an attack on the Greys. Another side of the story is that they didn't have, he just walked in to do something or forgot the sidearm. But then what happened was is that he was immediately dispatched by the so-called Greys. And then there's this firefight that went on down at that level. And a lot of humans were killed. I think some aliens might have been killed too. So Phil Schneider was there. And I think he lost some fingers with one of these directed energy weapons. And he escaped and kind of lived to tell the tale of that, right? And lived a pretty haunted life. And eventually he died fairly young, said he was targeted. Let's see. Who else do we have? Scrubbies is here. Lisa W's here. Maria. The aliens are a psychological operation. This Torin does not buy it. Well, here's what I think. I think that the psychological operation is a big part of it. Huge. And I think there is high strange with the whole alien thing. A lot of high strange. And I think that there is some truth to it, although it may not be the story. And Tondar, I think, touched on it. I think it's a lot different than what we understand. Okay. So why don't we do this? Let's get into this little piece of media, which I think kind of ties a lot of weird shit together. And I'm going to go through this and play it and have some stops and starts, right? So this is the very first episode of the TV series Great American Hero, starring Robert Culp and William Catt. And I want you to, here, I'm just going to play it, let you experience some of it, and then at a certain point in time, I'm going to stop, chime in, and then come back again. All right, here we go. Let's go. Great American Hero, opening sequence. Take one.
Please, man. All I want to do is go back to my car, huh? Look, I don't want any trouble.
Jesus loves you, my friend.
That's terrific news.
Onward, Christian soldiers. marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal banner.
Okay, so what happened there? Wow. Oh, ho, ho. You have the black guy in the sand rail trying to get away from who? A bunch of white Nazi Christian nationalist supremacists. Now, keep in mind, this is from the 70s. Those guys look like they're right out of Synanon. And is that not a theme for our time? Isn't this the spell that they want to cast? Like that there are these groups and this is what they do? I mean, that's just the opening sequence. And keep in mind, this is from the 70s. So let's go a little bit deeper into what happens next. Credits. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's Stephen Bishop. Walking on air. Believe it or not, it's just me. Okay, a little yacht for you. Okay, so now you're going to go into a classroom situation, and William Catt is being brought into a classroom situation where the students are rowdy. So let's look at this. Here we go.
I had this class for 8 months, and my medical insurance about got canceled. Just sit on them. Keep the door closed, wear a flak vest, and read them the Sunday funnies you'll make.
I just thought maybe I could get these kids back into the mainstream of the school. I mean, that is the general idea, isn't it?
The mainstream.
Some of these kids are really smart, Ray. Like Rhonda. You talking about love me, Rhonda? Come on, Ralph, get serious. You got a trash can in there. And you get soft on these kids, and they're going to plow you right under.
I just think I ought to be able to do some good, get them interested, even one. Is that so damned impossible?
Looks like your chair, Ralph. Hey, look, a good technique here is just to get it and throw it right back in at them, you know? Or there's the Clyde Beatty technique. Use it to keep them at bay.
I'm gonna make a difference with these kids.
Yeah, it sounds like yours truly 8 months ago. And then they filled my gas tank with sand, they poured kerosene on my lawn, and my spirit of rehabilitation just kind of went right out the window. And I went to defense tactics. Here you go, sport. Knock them dead.
All right, so we're going to move forward here a little bit. And these are the so-called tough kids. There's Michael Pear, Eddie and the Cruisers would be his kind of stepping stone to fame. What's interesting also about Michael Pear is he plays the character in the Philadelphia Experiment, which is another John Carpenter movie, and it's about time travel, right? So kind of an interesting character. And there's even some time travel elements to some degree in Eddie and the Cruisers. It's a story that happens in flashback. All right, let's meet the juvenile delinquents.
Well,
maybe that's not a bad idea, Tony. Suppose I call Coach Freeman and tell him you and I are going to do 3 3-minute rounds in the gym. Gloves and head.
Why not now, sucker? We don't need no head gear.
No, I got something else planned for today. But we'll do it tomorrow.
Oh, 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 do I love this? Do I love this?
How about this, Rhonda, huh?
You're a clown, Tony.
Yeah, okay. Hey, we're getting out of here today. We're going on.
So this is quite bizarre. What he's going to do is he's going to take him on a field trip. Unannounced field trip, no permission slips. And they're going to get out for the day. This is his plan to begin to rehabilitate these students. So let's go on that little field trip with them, shall we? We'll skip some of the classroom banter. and they're getting in the bus, and they're about ready to have an encounter with Robert Culp. All right, let's play this.
Honey, you're a little overtrained. I only need half the pie, just let it back. And a cup of coffee. Thank you.
Whoa! All right, hey, you guys, remember where we're from, all right?
Hey, you. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you. You got a problem or something? You don't like the way I look? Hey, Tony. Come on, sit down.
Get a load of this guy. He looks like he stole Elliot Ness's wardrobe or something.
I don't like the way you look. How about that?
Come on, Tony. Let's give this guy the day off, all right?
Hey, what am I, spithead? This guy looks at me like I'm some kind of bug, some kind of nothing bug, a cockroach.
If you're
or something.
Looking for trouble.
You've just come across the West Coast distributor.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. We got a smart mouth on our hands. A fighter.
I'll get this guy cooled out, all right?
If you're gonna run around with the monkeys, you gotta remember to bring the cages. It saves trouble up front.
Yeah, come on.
But then, like they say, clothes don't make man. I mean, if you want just like Archie Bunker going to church, I mean, whose business is that but yours, right? I mean, I'm real loose on that point.
Come on, Tony. Why don't you go look at the menu?
Yeah, right. I'm going to go take a look at the menu.
So, of course, this has no basis in reality whatsoever. Come on, Tony. Just put your knife away. Let's go look at the menu. Let's get you a grilled cheese and a Dr. Pepper. And this guy, Robert Culp, just pulls a gun. Nobody's going to call the cops. It's just one of those kind of Western standoffs that happens in the 1970s. So let's keep going here a little bit.
And you.
So they wind up leaving, and they're going on a little field trip. And it's nighttime.
Stuff up.
What the hell's going on out here?
All of a sudden, the dress bus is driving itself.
Gee, let me out of here!
It's a field trip, right?
I think it's just some kind of power short or something.
Okay, so strange anomalies are happening. And of course, the responsible teacher does what? He leaves. He leaves the kids and he's going to go find help. And let's see what happens in the form of the help.
There's a gas station back there about a mile. I'm going to leave you guys here. Rodriguez, you're in charge. I want you to stick close to the van and don't tear up the upholstery.
Oh, hey, come on, man. I don't want to be in charge of nothing.
You're in charge. Anything gets broken up, it's your tail.
Oh, Paco, you get to be the classroom monitor. Lucky Pucky.
It's back in half an hour.
Oh, Rhonda needs some protection. He's scared. Okay, here we go. Next level of high strange.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing? Hey!
Who do you think's driving that car? A little smashed.
Boy, you take yourself way too seriously, pal.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
The best pistol. What's the matter with you?
I want to know, what kind of an institution did you escape from?
This one.
FBI. Just tried to run me down.
No. No, it just went. I don't know what.
Strange.
I couldn't control it.
Maybe the thing's happening. Broken.
I don't know what happened.
Suspenseful orchestral music. Uh-oh, a light in the sky. Two lights in the sky. Very Gemini-like. Is this our Gemini spacecraft?
Well?
I can't see anything. It looks okay to me.
Uh-oh.
Daffy, duck government equipment. Nothing works.
Something weird's going on out here.
Mr. Reach never heard of preventive maintenance.
Uh-oh. Iron Sky.
Problems that need to be solved.
and it's up to you whether to accept. If you don't accept, then in 2 weeks the suit will disintegrate.
A suit? I don't need a suit. I got plenty of suits.
I'm coming down, okay?
Look who's here. That's pretty cool special. The guy that was killed.
Hey, Bill, I'm gonna put it in the trunk, okay? Okay?
Yeah. In the trunk. Whenever.
It's got the bullet wound. Fresh on.
Mr. Hinkley, it's up to you and Bill now. You gotta do this. You gotta take this on. You can change things. Save this planet from destruction.
Who shot you? Who did that to you, John? Are you all right?
I'm dead. Ain't that a laugh? Been dead for 6 hours. The ship picked me up out there afterwards. I'm leaving with them. It's a new life for me. Nice working with you, Bill.
Of course, that's less than a mile away from the van with the juvenile delinquents, and they don't see anything, do they? Now, just to recap here, what have we seen so far? We've seen the white Christian nationalist Aryan group shooting a black FBI agent. Okay. Remember, this is the 70s. And if you kind of look around the sort of current psychological operation that's happening, that is part of the script. That's part of our current script. Like, those guys are everywhere. They're everywhere. Then you have alien disclosure right there. And you now have an alliance between the government, FBI, and the aliens. And of course, William Catt will take on the suit and become the great American hero. And he's not always all that adroit with his superhuman powers. Now, the rest of the show is about that, right? He's trying to figure out how to work the suit. He's trying to figure out how to deal with being a teacher and having a relationship, and then dealing with this curmudgeonly partner in Robert Culp. Meanwhile, they go after the white Christian nationalist Nazi fascist group, and he takes them on. So we have all these memes and tropes that are currently a part of our time all coming together here. With the exception of William Catt, he's probably not the right sex or the right race. Just saying. This is kind of an older model. But I think it's really fascinating in that a show like this, whether it's consciously or unconsciously participating in a type of predictive programming, This is what's happening here. And I stumbled across this back in, I think, 2020. And I've been wanting to play the intro and try to put these pieces together. And now with the alien stuff kind of floating around out there, along with the weird, there's a white supremacist under every bed trope or memeology. Now it's all coming together, right? Like the first 20 minutes of that program are starting to bleed into this time. Stephen Cannell, who was the creator of the show, I mean, he was incredibly successful. He created the Rockford Files, the A-Team, just a shit ton of TV series. 21 Jump Street was another one of his creations. So you have to wonder, where was he getting his information from? Because when people, create shows, they have a staff of writers. And the writers sometimes aren't your run-of-the-mill, regular, people who just write shit, right? Sometimes they're people that are either knowingly or unknowingly drafted with an agenda so that they can put the agenda forward in the TV shows. So these would be people from the intelligence agencies. And I don't know who was on the staff writing for Great American Hero or any of other Cannell shows. So I'm not that granular, but somebody knew something, right? And this is in the 1970s. And was the whole white supremacist thing all that big? Well, you had Synodon, but everybody at Synodon, at the later stages of Synodon, they're all teenagers. They're all these skinhead teenagers. So somebody might have lifted like the Synodon story and kind of transposed it into this other, sand rail white supremacist. But Synodon weren't Christians. They were just these street punks that were trying to be theoretically saved by Chuck Dietrich, because he needed new people to be saved, right? And then he has a little skinhead army. But there was nothing Christian about them. If anything, like Dietrich was probably more, confrontational, dark new age, really. But in this version of it, they bolted on the whole white Christian fascistic aesthetic, right? And you saw the fist and the white power symbol before they shot the guy. So we have a little Mississippi Burning in there. And then we have Alien Disclosure. It's like just such a strange melange of these two themes. And I just thought it'd be interesting to play today because they're both in the air, right? Both of these themes are floating around and are now probably more current in some ways than ever, especially on the UFO side, since it's hot off the presses. Anyway, just a little media deconstruction from the past and how in some ways it was either predictive or prescient or maybe both. So let me tell you a couple of my UFO stories and then I'm going to get out of here because I can hear the wrestlings of another human in the space. So just real quick, there were a couple times I think there were at least four times I had a connection or contact with the UFO. And all four times were under different circumstances and experiences. The first time that I actually saw something, and I know this sounds nuts, right? But the thing that differentiated this experience from perhaps other experiences that I had, well, maybe not too much, because the other experience I had, somebody else was also there to witness it. It was the witness, right? It was the person seeing the same thing that I saw at the same time. So I'll give you the background for it. I think it was about maybe 18 or 19 years old. And I was living in a place called Foster City, California. And I was hanging out with my buddy, Eric. And so Eric and I would hop the fence for these condos or these townhomes where they would have these jacuzzis, right? So it was easy to hop the fence. And we would go into these places, and of course we didn't care about our bathing suits or anything. So we just take off our clothes and we'd hang out in the jacuzzi, right? It was California. It was the 70s. And one night we were a little, shall we say hi? I'll say hi. We can say that here. And I was laying down in the jacuzzi. And this is kind of a crazy story, right? I'm laying down in the jacuzzi and I'm hearing the jets of the jacuzzi. So my face was, my ears were below the waterline, but my mouth was, you know, able to speak out into the air, right? So I'm kind of riffing on the jets of the jacuzzi, and I'm talking, I'm kind of translating that into liftoff. Like it's, I'm using the sort of the sound to create kind of a liftoff narrative and story. So, you know, sometimes you are in that space, you just kind of riff on things. So I'm riffing on this thing, and you know, it's sounding very cogent too, right? And as I'm doing this and I look up, I see this thing in the sky. It's like this fucking light. And it's round and yellow and pastel-y. And it gets my attention. And my friend who's looking up at the sky sees the same thing, right? So I pop up and so we both had this really alarmed reaction. Now, maybe we were having a shared hallucinatory experience. I don't think so though, because we both were reporting back to each other about what we saw. It was the same thing. Now, I don't know how that happened, right? And I think maybe we were kind of vibrating at a certain pitch. And when you vibrate at a certain pitch, different things happen, different things emerge. And so we both were able to describe what we saw to a T, right? So there was no cognitive dissonance around my experience or his. And we were convinced that, you know, that there had been this major sighting. So we got up, we got dressed, we went to go to this taco joint, like Taco Del Mar or whatever. And we're driving down El Camino, and there's this guy who's hitchhiking. It's at nighttime, right? And I said, hey, and my friend was driving. Hey, pull over. And so I rolled down the window and I asked, hey, did you see it? And the guy was fucking smashed and he just wanted a ride. He's like, so what? Oh, so the UFO, man. Did you see the fucking UFO? I just want to ride to San Carlos. Like, okay, let's go. And so we split, and there was no confirmation from anybody else that they had seen the same thing that we had seen. But again, when I saw it and I started describing it, it was like, it was detail for detail. It was the strangest fucking thing. And I do think that we were kind of vibrating at a certain pitch. When that happens, certain things emerge. Okay, so that was sighting number one. Sighting number two, and again, you would say, all right, well, this is kind of a crazy environment. But this was back in 1994, and I was at Burning Man in 1994. And Burning Man in 1994 was very, very different than the current version. There weren't that many people. There were like maybe 2,500 people there. Now, what do they get? They're still doing it. They get like 40,000 people. And the difference between then and now is that back then, they didn't fence off the playa. So you could just drive way the fuck out on the playa. And on the night of the burn, after the man burned, I got my car, my friend and I, we drove way out from the playa. Way up. Now, we got to remember, this is by Pyramid Lake. And there are all these really strange stories about Pyramid Lake in Nevada, like objects emerging out of the lake. Like we talked to locals, not from Burning Man, but from one of the towns, not Gerlach, but the town that's kind of just before you get to the long stretch for Pyramid Lake. And we talked to a tow truck driver because my car crapped out at one point before we got to Burning Man. And he told us some strange stories about Pyramid Lake and literally anomalous objects like rising up out of the lake, things that actually look like flying pyramids. But that's not what they call it, Pyramid Lake, but, you know, strange stories, right? So there's a lot of high strange in that area in the Black Rock Desert and Pyramid Lake. And I would not be surprised if there's like government bases and shit there. So we're way out on the playa. And then all of a sudden we both see these lights and they're like red, yellow, orange, green, and they're all kind of moving together and not that far away from us. You know, which I'm talking like maybe, I don't know, 100 feet. And you would think, oh, well, those were just pranksters from Burning Man. No, they weren't. You know, not the reason why is because we were so far removed from Burning Man. Like Burning Man was like these little tiny, tiny lights in the distance. That's how far away we were. And everybody was hanging out watching them. We're like, who the fuck would want to be out there just waiting for a couple of people to like do their little, you know, UFO magic trick? And I don't think that was the case. We saw something and I was like, I'm out of here. This is like, this is a little too weird. That was a strange one. And then the last one that I experienced, and this one was very strange, but again, corroborated by another person. So I've had all three of these cases, there were other people that were corroborating what I was experiencing. And this, so this was later on, this was around 1999 in Oakland. And I was, it was a funny time. I was in this play. I was really a shitty actor. I was in this Shakespearean play and I sucked. But so we did these performances and I got to know the actors. And there was this one woman who I got to know. And I had given her some music to listen to. And at that time I was dating this woman, but it was very loose dating. And she had, it's just part of the backstory, but it's kind of an important part of the backstory. So she had some interest in me. And she's her friend who had been at the play had seen me with this woman that I was dating. So she relayed that to her. And then all of a sudden her vibe got very, very chilly. Right. But I wouldn't find this out until this one performance. So this is what happened. So they were all off doing their thing after a performance in Oakland drinking. And I was in Oakland and I was walking my dog. I wasn't with them. And I'm walking my dog and I see this chrome sphere in the sky. It is a chrome sphere. It is not a helicopter. I've never seen anything like it. And it's moving very silently. I'm like, whoa, shit. Like that is a UFO. I've never seen anything like it before. And it moved silently and it moved fairly quickly. But I saw this thing, right? So I go back to this woman I'm seeing. And I said, hey, I just saw a UFO. And of course she's like, you know, haha, funny, whatever. Right. So the next day we go back and do the Saturday performance. And this is pre-play and I'm standing there and I'm talking with this other woman who is in the play. And I said, oh, by the way, the woman who I'd given the music to, she hands me back these CDs and she's got a bit of an attitude. Right. She's like, oh, you know, you're seeing that other woman. Right? So he hands me the CDs. I'm like, I'm like, oh, thanks. And so I said to this other woman, I said, hey, guess what? I saw a UFO last night. And the woman who had given me the CD stopped in her tracks. Okay. She said, what did you say? I said, I saw a UFO last night. And she turned around. And she said, what did it look like? And I told her. And she said, I saw the same thing. So really, so yeah, we described it. It was exactly the same thing. What was interesting is that she was in a car with one of the guys from the play. And he was completely smashed and he didn't see it. Right. So we were the only two people that saw this anomalous object. Well, at least in our minds, we were. Maybe there were other people. But in that moment, right, it like that orb and seeing that orb, I can't even really get into how much that changed my life in that moment with this person. It was really bizarre. So all three times it was connected to another person. And in all three instances, the other person was able to corroborate what I saw. So it's very interesting. And yeah, you know, we have a comment section here on this page, both on Rumble and on the 15 minute site. If you have something that, you know, you want to leave a comment on, if it's things that you've seen, put it out there. Like, you know, write it down. And if, you know, even if it's fake and it's a good story, it's probably worth reading. But a lot of people have had these experiences. So what are we experiencing? Are these shared hallucinations? Or are they anomalies that are something that come from a different space, literally a different space, a different dimension? And in all three instances, these things just kind of emerged, right? Like the light in the hot tub, the pastel moving disc light in the hot tub just emerged. Burning Man, these lights just emerge. This fear just emerged and started to move silently across the sky. So in all three cases, it's almost as if there's a different portion of reality that blinks in and out. And that really brings up this question of what reality is. And we don't have that much time to cover it in the show today. But here we are. We're kind of in this phase now. Disclosure, Blue Beam, talking about aliens, talking about craft. And what is it all about? Are these going to be the guys that are going to save the day? Are they going to take on the World Economic Forum? Are they going to be our saviors? And really, are they truly going to be our saviors? Or are they going to be like the next version of chains? This is all very interesting. And with Pluto and Aquarius, all the high strange, all the novelty, and I'm talking about novelty from a like a Terrence McKenna standpoint, gets unleashed, right? Be very interesting. As the Chinese said, may you live in interesting times. And I think we've got a triple dose of that. So there you go. Little UFO talk, a little predictive programming, a little disclosure on my personal life and some of the stories that I've experienced with this stuff. And there's more, but I'll save that for another day. All right. Thank you for being here. Join us tomorrow over on 15 Minutes. And of course, I've got to mention our sponsor, True Hemp Science. That's truehempscience.com. And if you want, again, the goodies, right? That CBD is kicking in right now. I can tell you that. And you want to add some of the best CBD to your life for your improvement of your life and your life's regimen, go to truehempscience.com. Spend $100 or more and type in 15MINS and get a little goodie bag along with your order. $150 or more gets you free shipping. There's always a 30-day money-back guarantee on the product. So don't sleep on it. All right. Thanks for being here. Much love to you all. Chattaria, you're the best. And we'll be back here on Friday. Not here, but on YouTube on Friday with the Crimmies. It's not the first Friday of the month. It's the second Friday, but they were busy last weekend enlightening the world about electroculture, copper in the garden. And I'm sure Chris and Steve will have some stories to tell about that as well. Take good care and bye for now.